everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here, episode number 38, live from my bed on Disney Coronado Springs Resort for the last time, and live from the home of David J. McCutcheon in St. Louis. Hi, David.
Hey, everybody. I am sick as a dog, so I do have a voice again, but it does sound like someone's pinching my nose a little more than usual. I'm usually a little nasally, Kenny. So this
you are. I have noticed this.
Yeah. That is something. But you know, the doctor says I can't have a bunch of different things in order to get better whenever I get sick. But
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Fuck children.
Yeah,
fuck
no,
children.
No. Children are terrible.
As we're podcasting, I don't know if you guys heard the noise in the background there that happened very briefly. That was a child running into the window of my room. Because for some reason, the rule at Disney is, if you have a child, don't control them.
No,
just
not
like,
at all.
Let them run around. Because there's more of them. But in all sizes, there's tiny ones, there's huge... I mean, it's basically... It's an MMW roster that's walking past the room right now, to be honest.
We call that a recruitment field, Kenny. Get out there and pass out the flyers. You have one. I know you have one. And our show, by the way, that we were promoting, Miniature Meltdown 2017, did get canceled. Mini Vader whipped out his mini wiener. And in public, that's public indecency, so the cops came and shut the whole operation down. But rest assured, the revival of MMW is going to happen at some point. But lest we digress here, I cannot take any DayQuil or any nasal sprays or anything.
Why is that?
Well, you know, my health isn't the best, Kenny.
But why is that?
Genetics, you know, I was born with a condition and probably eating like a raccoon didn't help, but you know, what can you do when you're 700 pounds? But I cannot have, any DayQuil or NyQuil or any of that stuff, but I do have a magical Scottish concoction known as Iron Brew.
There is no way to get through illness without Iron Brew.
I'm going to crack this right now, and you guys are going to be able to hear it, hopefully.
Listen to that sound, ladies and gentlemen.
That is the sound of a fresh Iron Brew being cracked open.
It's also the sound of the Iron Brew that Sondra forgot to bring home with her when I took her a bottle to Orlando. So, Sondra, I apologize, but you left it, and David McCutcheon was not going to go without that juicy goodness.
I opened up that refrigerator and I saw that Iron Brew, which is delicious, by the way. It's like a citrus flavor. Just so good. So good.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy me some Iron Brew, even though they wouldn't complimentarily ship me a case, Kenny.
I get in fucking line. I basically bankrolled them.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only reason I even know it exists is due to you, Kenny McIntosh.
Sales. We've had people tweeting me from Australia, New Zealand, the US, Canada, so many places, saying that they have seeked out Iron Brew from where they live to try it based on me going on about it so much. So, there is. I do just want to touch on a very serious, it's not very serious, it's a semi-serious note, and it's just something that's been on my mind from a couple of things I've watched. I watched a video from Sam Roberts' YouTube channel, or Jim Norton and Sam Roberts, one of the two, and it was an interview with AJ Lee, or AJ Mendez Brooks, that she's now known, and
sure.
her book's just been released, Crazy Is My Superpower, and the premise of the book is basically her talking about being bipolar, and working in WWE, and you know, she was not in any way during this 30-minute interview slating WWE, or saying that they treated her badly,
so I
want to preface that. She never said that. She was more just talking about how somebody with that came from nothing to become what she became, and how she was able to get through it while she worked in such a high-pressure job, blah, 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 blah. And obviously the other thing that's become news in the last week is Mauro Ranallo and the JBL thing and all that. And I've said for a long, long time that because my mom and different people will go, one day you'll be working for the WWE and all this sort of stuff. And I love WWE. Like, I love it. I love watching it. I love consuming the product. I love talking about it. I love podcasting about it. I pay my rent because of it. So I love it.
It's a huge portion of our lives.
Yeah. And we would have it no other way. Right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, we spent thousands of dollars at WrestleMania to be there and to you know, so that aside, I've said just from interactions that I've had with people that I think it would be better to work with WWE than for them. That's the relationship that I've cultivated, and I'm very happy with that. And I think just from seeing what the Mauro Ronaldo relationship, and the thing is, as much as I'm pretty much on his side, we don't know the ins and outs of what happened. So I don't think we can 100% say, well, Mauro Ronaldo was an angel and blah, blah. You know, we don't know what went on. But what we can say is that somebody went in there with a mental illness, and on the surface it appears was bullied because of that. And I think that what it just kind of teaches you is that sometimes you need to just accept that something that you love isn't all great. You know, and there are some bad parts to it.
Well, I mean, and you are staying at Disney for a week. That pretty much encompasses the whole something you love not being all that great.
To be fair though, here's the thing with Disney, right? They literally pump in smells to where you are to make you happier. It's insane. Like, you'll be walking down the street and you'll smell popcorn, but there's no popcorn. They just pump the smell of popcorn into the streets.
That's horrifying.
You walk down the resort and you hear music. The music's coming from the bushes.
Oh my god.
I mean, it's fucking great, right? But, you know, it's Skynet, essentially.
Yeah, so, yes. No, that sounds it. I'm way too paranoid to be at Disney, Kenny.
But the thing I wanted to say is that let's remember here that JBL is basically the poster boy, but he is not the problem.
No.
The problem is not JBL. The problem is the environment in which JBL is allowed to thrive. That's the issue.
Deep these roots go is going to be the more interesting topic, not JBL and his inevitable ousting.
Now, I tell you what I do think is ridiculous from JBL, old Jibble, is that he was on, he apparently in the last couple of days has been blocking people who have complimented Mauro Ronaldo without even saying anything about JBL. He's blocked people who follow him but also follow Mauro Ronaldo. And like, I wish I could just like get through to John Layfield and just be like, just stop being such a child. Like even if you have done something wrong or you haven't, whatever the case, just man up. And don't be such a pussy to just block everybody on Twitter all the time. And if that's the way you feel, don't be on Twitter.
Yeah, because exactly. Just walk away from your fucking phone if that's the case.
Like, don't get me wrong. I've blocked people on Twitter, but I block people who either like are just saying things that are like it's not that they're engaging in a like. I blocked a couple of Trump supporters, but I didn't block them because they were Trump supporters. I blocked them because I tried to converse with them, and they would through their conversation have beliefs that I just think are abhorrent and I don't really want to be a part of. So, like, if you think that women who are raped should have children in spite of it and not have a choice, I don't really want to talk to you. Right. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying my opinion is right or wrong. I'm saying that's, for me, that's just one thing that I cannot have conversations with somebody who promotes that. But I just can't. It's just, maybe that's a flaw in me, but I just can't. So,
no, I mean, I just outright block them because I don't care what they have to say.
So there you go. But like, I think the whole thing about the Mauro Ronaldo JBL thing is that I think that ultimately it's good that Mauro Ronaldo has moved on, and I hope that this situation breeds a new environment in WWE where people are able to not have to worry about this kind of thing happening. I don't know whether it will or not, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I think with Mauro too, I think it's going to, I think he may have changed the landscape of how WWE is built. Because it's sort of funny, too. JBL blocked me on Twitter this week. And it's rather funny because I tried to play devil's advocate for JBL. Because I said, you know, hey, this is professional wrestling. This is hardly the worst thing that has happened in terms of, you know, bullying in the WWE. Or wrestling in general, even. Not even just WWE. Those Mr. Fuji ribs, where, you know, he kills the dog and then makes the guy eat the dog and then hands him the dog's head, that's about as horrible as it gets, right? I mean, like, so in terms of wrestling and ribs and make, you know, basically, we call them ribs, but it's not really ribs. It's just being mean to someone for no reason. You know what I mean? That, and essentially, that's what happened here. He was mean to Mauro Ranallo for no reason. And there's no excuse for that. There's no reason to defend that or anything of the sort. But it's hardly the worst thing me or you have ever heard about in the history of professional wrestling, right?
Oh, no, there's far worse. But, like, yeah, I think it's, I understand why people are so upset about it. Like, I'm not bipolar, so I can't in any way sort of sympathize. I've maybe had bouts of mild depression in my life, but I've never really had, so I can't imagine how that feels. So, but I think it's just maybe working in an entertainment environment like WWE is just not something that you should do if you have that kind of mental issue, because WWE is just, not, it's just not a good place to be for you if that's how you feel, you know?
Right, right. And right. And it's rather unfortunate. Obviously, we're on Team Mauro. I think that goes without saying. My aunt's bipolar, so, you know, she suffers with bipolar disorder every day. And, you know, some days she's up, some days she's down. That's just, that's how life is for her and how life is for my family. So
the only kind of, what's the word? Not association. The only way I can sort of relate to bipolar is how I feel with David. You know, when sure. when I'm not around him or speaking to him, I have this euphoric feeling, and then yeah. when I'm around him or speaking to him, I just have this dark pit of depression that
it's,
I just can't get out.
It's mainly because I don't let you get a word in, and you do like that is talking mainly. And hearing
I do.
The sound of your own voice.
I do. That's what gets me off. Anyway, so also Tim Hortons, the Canadian cafe donut place, is opening their first store in the UK in Glasgow this year. Huzzah! I'm very excited about that. Timbits are great. If you've never had a Timbits,
Timbits are the shit. One of my best friends is named Tim, and I call him Timbits because I love him and I love donuts, Kenny.
What better way to segue into Monday Night Raw?
There is no better way.
It's the Superstar Shake-Up. The shaking up of the superstars. Now, we did hear before the show went live.
By the way, don't shake a baby, okay? If King Maxwell is a superstar, don't be shaking King Maxwell, you guys. That's my PSA.
That's your PSA. Raw is in the Nassau Coliseum, site of WrestleMania 2.
Yeah,
Nassau
Coliseum, a very strong name.
Yeah, a great arena name, the Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah.
None of your fucking smoothie. Anyway, I'm not going to do it.
I did have a Smoothie King the other day, and I got to say it was like the best experience I've ever had in my life.
Well, try standing in front of an arena named it. You just want to kill
it. Well, that's fair. That's fair. I feel like somebody raped and pillaged my village.
So Apollo Crews has been shaken up to Monday Night Raw, so it means that he can smile on Raw now.
Yeah, the biggest name in the Superstar Shake-Up. I can't wait.
Arguably, as Michael Cole said, the best pure athlete in WWE, to which I say, Michael Cole, have you watched wrestling? Because I don't know if he's the best pure athlete. He's very good.
He is an excellent athlete, there's no doubt.
But anyway, so we opened the show, and John Cena's music plays. Now, at this point, we don't know how it's going to work or what's going to happen. So Cena's music played, and I straight away was like, this is going to be Miz and Maurice. It's got to be. And it was, and they came out, and they spoofed Cena and Nikki again. It was great. They were interrupted by Dean Ambrose, and Michael Cole said, Dean Ambrose now a part of Monday Night Raw, apparently with the Miz and Maurice, and Ambrose couldn't work out that it was Miz and Maurice and thought it was Cena and Nikki and was complimenting them.
Oh, that's great. I love
and insult the Miz at the same time, and the Miz is getting more angry, and eventually he's like, it's not me, we're the egg couple. And then Ambrose said, oh, well, in that case, and then gave a dirty deeds to the Miz, and
so
that's it. We've got Ambrose, Miz, and Maurice on Raw. I thought it was a hot opening segment, and I think that Ambrose needed this move.
Yeah.
I think he really did it. Miz, I'm scared for, to be honest.
No, I completely agree. We're on the same page here. This will greatly benefit Dean Ambrose. That's there's no doubt for certain. He's going to be greatly benefited from this. This was a good segment. I really liked the Miz patting Maryse on the head. very robotic like, just really, really, really funny. This whole segment though, just excellent. I really fear for the Miz though. I was hoping he would stay on SmackDown just so he would eventually get a run towards the world title. I don't know if that would culminate in a world title, but I thought that he would be next in line to face Randy Orton and possibly even beat Randy Orton. So
I think the thing about Raw is Raw just has a lot bigger of a superstar talent pool. And that's why sometimes SmackDown's superior, because SmackDown has sort of limited tools to work with, so all of those tools are enhanced. Whereas on Raw, you can do a show on Raw without Sami Zayn on it for 2 weeks if you wanted to. Right. And the show generally would not feel empty because you have so many people on it. Or you can have Brock Lesnar not be on it for 3 months and still feels like a big show. So I think the Miz is going to have to really up his game, and I hope he has the chance to up his game on Raw. But he is the one person of all the shakeups tonight that I am most concerned for.
I would completely agree with that.
Kurt Angle's backstage on the phone. Sami Zayn interrupts, says, "You know, the suspense has been killing him. Is he going to SmackDown or not?" Miz and Maryse enter. They complain about what Dean Ambrose did, but Kurt Angle books Sami Zayn and the Miz for later in the show. I love Kurt Angle so much.
Yeah, Kurt Angle, excellent addition to Raw last week. So this was the point when I started thinking, okay, Sammy's here, what's going on? And then I kind of started to piece it together that they were not going to announce who was showing up on SmackDown until tomorrow, which automatically, which is today, of course, but which automatically prefaced this whole conundrum for us covering this, as we can't necessarily say who's going to be on SmackDown, but we can deduce who is no longer going to be on SmackDown based on this.
And also, I think that the way I plan on covering this episode anyway is just, I'm not going to be like, SmackDown's getting ripped or anything like that, because I don't know what SmackDown are getting yet. So to me, right. It's just, this for me is a focus on what Raw is getting rather than what SmackDown is not getting.
Right. And I'm kind of hoping, and it's a long shot, I'm kind of hoping that The Miz shows up tonight and is just like, well, we lost on Raw, so I'm mad about it, so I'm staying. how great would that be?
That would be excellent.
That would be the best thing. If that happens, I will proclaim The Miz to be one of my favorite wrestlers.
The New Day come out. They have a blow-up doll version of Kofi Kingston because his spirit lives there.
Blofi Kingston.
And, you know, Kofi's got an ankle injury, so he's been out for a little while. But they call
it... Which is legitimate, by the way. That's not a work. He actually did have the surgery.
Yeah, it is legit. So he's not going to be out too long, maybe a month or so. But, you know, I think it'll be fine. The New Day are a good enough act that they'll get over without it. We get the New Day versus the Revival, and the moment at the end of this where Xavier Woods is leaping off the top rope and the Revival hit him with a finisher on the way down, I almost got hard. It was so good.
It was amazing. It looked brutal, and man, oh man, the Revival's just so good. They came out wearing those shirts that said RIP Ice Cream Truck 2017 to 2017.
Yeah, and this felt though like the New Day were wrapping up Raw for themselves, and that's what it felt like.
It did. It's funny how a lot of the people who were leaving for SmackDown kind of took a bow on the way out. At least presumably, we can assume that the New Day are heading out. We can assume that Charlotte is heading out. So it's kind of funny how they got to put over talent on the way out. You know?
Somebody on Twitter had remarked it like almost like a territory where you do the honors in the way out, which I think is quite cool. I like it.
The only problem is that you can't do that with SmackDown the next day. You know what I mean?
It's problematic,
and it doesn't benefit SmackDown at all.
I would be intrigued, though, to see, and I don't know how you would even quantify this, but how many people who watch Raw also watch SmackDown, how many people watch SmackDown also watch Raw? I'm curious. I mean, I know there's similar numbers, but it feels like I definitely speak to enough people that tell me they only watch SmackDown that I would be surprised if there's not a little bit of a difference. But like you say, overall, I think people want to believe, though. I think when Charlotte turns up on SmackDown, I think people will kind of treat it as a new story for her. So I hope so.
Like I said, SmackDown doesn't have that benefit of anybody doing the honors for Raw, you know, for SmackDown.
Do you know what, though? I feel like when the draft happened last summer, everybody was like, oh, SmackDown's going to be the shits. And then it turned out to be great. So I've kind of got this bubble for SmackDown, and I'm like, whatever they're given, they're going to do great with it.
Yeah, and let's hope they're given Sami Zayn.
So the Revival have two victories over the New Day as they roll on Monday Night Raw. We get an interview with Neville backstage talking about Austin Aries. TJ Perkins comes in. TJ Perkins is being a bit cocky to him. Neville talks him down, told him, you know, you were the inaugural champion and look at you now. And then he basically tries to get TJ Perkins on side, saying that Austin Aries is part of the problem. Aries is saying, you know, Aries comes into shot and says, you know, don't believe him. Why are you buying into that? He had a banana, which was great. Yeah. And that basically took us into Austin Aries versus TJ Perkins, where TJ Perkins managed to get an inside cradle and beat Austin Aries. And then TJ Perkins, by all accounts, turned heel by beating the crap out of Austin Aries as Neville looked on with glee. I thought this was a really effective cruiserweight thing, segment.
No, I agree. I agree. I thought it was great. This is exactly what the doctor ordered for TJ Perkins, who gained notoriety in the Cruiserweight Classic as a heel. He came out, he was cocky, he was brash, he made all of our favorite wrestlers submit. So, I mean, whenever you can coax the words "I give up" from a beloved babyface opponent, I think that says a whole lot. So maybe this is what TJ needed. Maybe TJ can kind of rebound now.
Yeah, I hope so. I think he'll do better in a heel role, so I'm curious to see where it goes. Kurt Hawkins is now part of Monday Night Raw. Face the facts, David.
I was really excited for this because I thought that somebody was also going to show up that would be like a big acquisition or something following the Kurt Hawkins segment. But unfortunately, it was just the Big Show, Kenny, and his abs.
Do you know how many fucking tweets I got the other day when he posted another one of his fake ab pictures?
I got tagged in at least 5 to 10 with you, so I can only imagine what you got yourself.
Yeah, my Twitter just looked like I had a fetish for big manly giants.
Yeah, you were on the bus and somebody saw that and said, oh, look at this fucking limey prick.
Listen, I'm sure the Big Show gets a lot of love and it's just not going to be from me. But the Big Show comes out and punches out Hawkins and I just had this dread fill me and go, please don't come to SmackDown. Please don't come to SmackDown. Please don't come to SmackDown. I think he's coming to SmackDown. Ugh.
Yeah. Think you might be right, Kenny. Maybe the Great Khali will come back and come to SmackDown.
I'd prefer that.
Oh, I know you would. I don't think that's a question, mate. Fuck.
Do you remember Khali? Oh, what a babe. My favorite thing is on Batista's DVD when he came back. They were filming backstage at the Royal Rumble 2014. And Batista like catches up with Khali. And Khali's like, hello, hello. And then Batista's like, oh, you know, oh, I was just telling the cameras about all of our great matches together. And Khali just went, ah, ha, 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 no lie, no lie. Because he knew it was a lie that he had good matches. He gets that he's shite. That's why he's so good.
Oh, that Khali.
What a Punjab delight. So, yeah, Big Show's probably come to SmackDown, much to my utter uninterest. Seth Rollins comes out. He talks about, you know, what happened to Stephanie at WrestleMania and the payment he's probably going to get back for that. Payment, sorry. And I have a really bad cold as well, so yeah. my voice is in the process of going. I've probably got about 20 minutes left of it. He talked about his sore knee at WrestleMania, and, you know, he basically said that Stephanie was going to do everything she could to get him taken to SmackDown. That'd be the easier thing to do. But then he said that Raw's his home, and he'll be damned if she's going to, you know, get him out. So he said that if she wants to get him out, she better have an army ready to drag him off if she wants him to go to SmackDown. Kurt Angle comes out. He says that it's true that Stephanie wanted him gone, but Angle saw something in Rollins at WrestleMania he's not seen before, and it was impressive, and he said that he wants to put on the best show, and as long as he's GM, Seth Rollins has a home on Monday Night Raw. Angle leaves, but then Samoa Joe blindsides Seth. Kurt tries to get in between them, but they fight anyway, and Rollins kind of clears Joe away. So I guess Joe and Rollins is the feud we're going for. Hot segment, I thought, and it was nice that Kurt Angle got involved and kind of, you know, made us realize that his role is going to be he wants to have the best talent as opposed to emasculate everybody.
Yeah, and I like that they are putting over Seth as, like, the top babyface here, because Lord knows they need it with Roman Reigns around. But
I think we have another top babyface coming up, which I'll get.
Oh, yeah, we do. This segment was good. I liked it. I do think that Rollins would be better suited on SmackDown, where the writing for characters is a little bit better, but I'm not completely sold one way or the other on that, so we'll see where it goes.
So we go from there to Kevin Owens backstage. He talks about, you know, Creamo's rise to the top, and that he's got a match with Dean Ambrose later on tonight, so he's talking about that Owens is the man, and he'll beat the hell out of Ambrose and all that sort of stuff. So we'll come to that later on. We get a match with Nia Jax and Charlotte. Nia Jax defeats Charlotte in like 5 minutes. This was very much a exhibition for Nia Jax. Charlotte did do a cool moonsault off the top rope onto Nia. I guess this pretty much signifies Charlotte to SmackDown, right?
It does. This was her going away present, and man, she was kind of working babyface here. I was a little surprised. So if this isn't her going over to SmackDown, it may be the beginning of a babyface turn. I don't know.
Oh, I don't want to see it.
I don't either. I think that she should Charlotte's a dick. Heel forever. That's why she's so good. That's why she is my favorite women's wrestler of all time. Yes, even surpassing Bull Nakano, Kenny.
Even over Sherry Martel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Swearing in the synagogue that's sensational, Sherry.
I know. They are my favorites, though. They are the best. A little bit of Bull Nakano, Sherry Martel, Medusa.
Mae Young.
Of course. Well, we are, of course, talking about the best women's wrestler, not the hottest women's wrestler, Kenny.
That is true. Jesus. So, where do we go from there? We have Finn Balor returning against Jinder Mahal, Hard Body Mahal.
Oh, boy.
And Finn Balor defeated him in very quick order. To show that he is back on Raw, and as we're sort of like just basking in the presence of Finn Balor, the Wyatt sounder goes off. Bray Wyatt appears on screen. Bray Wyatt's now on Raw. He's not come empty-handed. He's going to torture Randy Orton at the House of Horrors match at Payback, which means for some reason, because Bray Wyatt's now on Raw, that the SmackDown WWE title match will be on the Raw pay-per-view. And Wyatt turned his attention to Finn Balor and told him to watch himself because he will be. And he concluded by saying, Monday Night Raw, I'm here. I was not expecting this at all.
No, this was a curveball. I thought that Bray was staying put. I'll be perfectly honest. So let me lay out this scenario for you, Kenny. And it's a long shot. It's never going to happen. I know it's never going to happen. Okay, but just hear me out. What if tonight Brock Lesnar comes out on SmackDown and they have taken the Universal title to Tuesday nights? And then Bray Wyatt gets his comeuppance on the worst wrestler on the planet, Randy Orton. What if that happened? What if that happened, Kenny? And the titles swapped brands.
That'd be great. I'd be into it.
Would you be all in on that? And then we could have Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles.
Brock Lesnar versus Nakamura.
Just, I'm sitting here and I'm beating off, Kenny. I've got my wiener in my hand and I'm doing things to it, and you shouldn't know about it, but now you do, because that's how much this excites me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, you know, I was mocking up all those posters for MMW, and, you know, after a while, Kenny, you start thinking of all the money you used to make in MMW, and what can I say? It gets you erect. What can you do?
So I was happy to see Bray Wyatt on Raw. I think it will be a good change for him. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt is interesting to me, especially given that the Demon and the Eater of Worlds could collide on pay-per-view.
Sure.
That'd be pretty great.
Sure, I mean, they still haven't established the Eater of Worlds as anything, but I think this would mean a lot more if, like, he were champion still and did this, then that would be really great, but I mean... I'm going to definitively say it now that I can talk about Bray Wyatt. I think WrestleMania killed Bray Wyatt, and I think that was the end of him, and I don't think we'll ever see him in anything that matters from here on out.
WrestleMania always seems to kill Bray Wyatt, to be honest.
Yeah, I think this was the final one, though.
Undertaker, The Rock, John Cena, every time they just won't give Wyatt that push at WrestleMania for whatever reason.
He's the inverse Undertaker. He's never won and never will at WrestleMania.
Imagine he goes 21 and then he finally wins in the 22nd. So we finally get the Miz and Sami Zayn match that we were promised earlier on. Very fun match, actually. Really enjoyed it. And in the end, Miz went for the skull-crushing finale, but Sami countered it into a roll-up, got the victory. Really good.
I loved it. I loved it. It was great. It was, it's so funny. I never thought I would be this invested in The Miz. Usually The Miz is the guy that you just tune out whenever he's wrestling. You know what I mean? But for whatever reason, man, he's really turned it around and he's become a like legitimate player and legitimate star. So what can you do? Also, apologies for the huge racket in the background. There are delivery trucks in the neighborhood, apparently. So, yeah.
Bastards.
And they're running into things. I think they just destroyed my neighbor's car.
Good. I hate your neighbor. Fuck your neighbor.
The neighbor does have kids, Kenny, and they probably run into windows at Walt Disney Resorts. So,
like, see if I had kids, right? Like,
yeah.
I would...
Tell me the type of dad you would be, Kenny.
I know. Do you know, as much as people probably think I'd be a terrible dad, I would be a cool dad. Like I would.
You'd be the best dad, Kenny.
I would make sure my kid, like, we would have so much fun. I would make sure he got to go to like Disney and WrestleMania and all that sort of stuff. But here's the issue is that when you have kids, and I've seen this through different parents that I know, I've seen the good and the bad ways. If your child knows there's a consequence to what happens, they will not do it.
Yeah.
But if you do not give them a consequence, they will do whatever they want. So, like, yesterday, we were in the queue for a ride, and this little girl just, like, kept throwing tantrums and running around, and the mum was, like, just standing there doing nothing. And I'm like, I know it must be tough to have a kid at Disney and have to look after your kids and all that, but, like, do you really need to, like, let the kid run around and run into me and like, almost knock over somebody and... start trying to press a woman's wheelchair button and you don't do anything?
Nothing at all.
So, yeah, I would make sure that my kid knew there was consequences if they misbehaved, and then as when they behave, they would get rewarded. Easy.
So by misbehave, you mean want a Roman Reigns shirt?
Do you know what? If I had a kid who wanted a Roman Reigns shirt, he would get whatever Roman Reigns shirt he wanted. I would hate it internally, but if your kid wants something, you give it to him. If you have a little boy and he wants to play with Barbies, get him a fucking Barbie.
Fucking A.
Anyway.
I completely agree. You know what one of my favorite toys was as a kid, Kenny? I had one of those Play School kitchen sets. And I cooked the shit out of everything. It was great. And there were little girls on the packaging, and I didn't give three fucks, Kenny. I was like, no, I'm going to fucking use that skillet, and I'm going to bash somebody in the head with it, and I'm going to make some eggs.
Maybe you were just a really intelligent child who thought that the little girls in the packaging were maybe like, if I cook some shit, these women are going to want me. But maybe that was... Maybe that was where you were.
This is the way that they're leaning, man. I need to get in there and be the best fucking imaginary chef that you've ever fucking seen in your goddamn life. And I'm going to be swimming in the poontang pie, Kenny. That's what three-year-old David McCutcheon said.
You couldn't fill a fucking paddling pool with poontang pie.
Couldn't even fill one of those leftover kiddie pools from MNW.
Anyway, I was going to go further about one. Michael Cole is interviewing Roman Reigns because, you know, when you've beaten Undertaker's career, you don't want to put the guy in front of the crowd because it was a horrible decision to have him be the guy to do it and present him as a babyface. Just present him as a heel. We all want to fucking hate him after what he did to Undertaker. Just let it happen.
It's so easy to do, but they'll never do it. They will never do it.
Then Braun Strowman shows up and basically acts as most wrestling fans and destroys Roman Reigns.
Yes!
He, like, destroys him in the arena, and then he gets put on a stretcher, and then he was strapped to a board, and then Strowman throws him off off a ledge, and he bounces on the stretcher. Then he gets put in an ambulance, and Strowman's like, I'm not finished! And then he, like, pushes the ambulance on its side. Like, this was the biggest baby face making moment I've seen in a long, long time for Braun Strowman.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Attitude Era Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's immediately.
And then it cuts back to Michael Cole cuts back as if someone has died.
Oh, right. And we're just like, no, that was great. Show us more. He needs to do other things. This was such a great segment, though. And it's so funny. As soon as Roman started talking, I told Val, I said, I can't take this. I need to go into the kitchen and start cooking. Which, by the way, my three-year-old self would be very proud of the kitchen I have now. Thank you. So I go, I'm going to go in and start cooking. Let me know the gist of what this idiot says. My poor wife being tasked with translating Roman Reigns to me, right? So I go in there and I begin warming up the skillet for some tofu sausage, right? All of a sudden, I hear her cackling just as loud as humanly possible. And I said, all right, I guess I have to watch this. And she's like trying to convey to me that I have to watch it, but she's laughing too hard, so she can't. Like, and so I'm like, all right, this has to be great. And so I go ahead and pause it. But now she's too invested. She's not going to pause it. Right? So she's like, no, I'm watching this segment. You keep on cooking and then we'll rewind it afterwards. And I'm like, all right. And then I just hear her fucking uproarious laughter. Right? Just tear-inducing laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, something amazing has happened. I walk into the room. And as I walk into the room, I hear, I'm not finished with you yet. And then he just fucking jumps into the car. And then I start laughing. And I'm like, okay, Braun Strowman's been killing him. And now he's going to kill him further. So then we had to rewind and watch it all from scratch. And my God, man. Braun Strowman. Just the best. Like, who would have thought, Kenny, a year ago, that, like, we would go back in the future and see our past selves, right? Go back from the future to see our past selves. And you would go, Kenny, one of the best portions in the history of Monday Night Raw will come at the hands of Braun Strowman. And you'd be like, fuck off. And then I would say, David, you look wonderful. I love you. You're gorgeous. You're such a wonderful human being. And then me and future David, or me and past David for that matter, would go in the back and have a romp. But you, sir, would be explaining to your past self about how wonderful Braun Strowman is. and you would not believe it. You would believe anything else. You'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, Donald Trump is the president. I would believe that over fucking Braun Strowman being a highlight of Monday Night Raw's history. But that's what happened. That is exactly what happened, Kenny. Braun Strowman made history by being hilarious and wonderful and beating the living shit out of the biggest heel in the company. And I loved it, and he became the biggest babyface. How often are you, like, floored to the point where you can't verbalize how impressed you are in terms of someone's feat of strength?
It's very rare. The funny thing was, when Roman Reigns got put in the ambulance, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be great if he wasn't finished with him? And then he said it, and I just cackled away. I couldn't believe they actually did it. It was so good.
I'm not finished with you yet. Oh, man.
So good.
He needs merchandise. He needs that saying on a shirt. I would buy it.
100%. 100%.
Coincidentally, that is also your sex move, Kenny. After you're done, you'll just run in and grab the young lass or the young man that you've been ravaging and go, I'm not finished with you yet. And then you start, that part two begins.
It's my one move.
Yeah, it's my one move, but it's a good one. You're like Roman Reigns, you know, like two moves. But man, you manage to
do it. I don't get to use the move ever, but if I ever do, that's the move. We get an 8-man tag team match up next with the Hardys, Sheamus and Cesaro against the Club and the Shining Stars. Just a good, fun 8-man tag. Matt Hardy is still doing parts of the broken character. He's still deleting and he's still doing the face and he's still saying wonderful. So he's still giving us a little bit of hope. And in the end, the Hardys and Sheamus and Cesaro got the victory as they go on their way to Payback in the title match. What do you think of this one?
Oh, it was very fun. I actually like these guys working together. I felt really bad for the Club, who I think are also going over to SmackDown. I mean, they fucking tag-teamed with the Shining Stars, Kenny. So, you know, it has nowhere to go but up from there, right?
That's true. We then have Dana Brooke backstage. She's reading the book on how to be your own protege. Emma comes in.
Got a pop out of me, I can't lie.
It was good. The purpose of the promo was Dana Brooke saying she's no longer anyone's protege. She's now standing on her own, and Emma was in a huff.
It was nice to see these two women utilized in some way. So
Sasha Banks comes out. She talks about, she brings up Bayley. Bayley did a speech about how thankful she was and all that sort of stuff. And then Sasha seemed to be about to ask for a title match when Alexa Bliss's music hit to a very loud reaction. Alexa Bliss comes out. She's now officially part of Monday Night Raw. She called Bayley and Sasha nauseating, which popped me. She said that she didn't need their approval, the fans, and that she was going to take over the women's division. No more SmackDown drama. And then Mickey James' music hits. So I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss does not look happy, and Mickie James says her nightmare's just begun, but then Nia Jax knocks Mickie James out from behind, and then roughs up Sasha and Bayley. Alexa Bliss escapes without being touched. I guess kind of showing us the new women's division on Raw, and I think it's a pretty good division.
I would agree. That leads to the point, though. I think these surprise me more than anybody, and now I'm happy because I finally get to talk about Alexa Bliss, who's one of my favorite female performers. Probably, it's kind of funny, once Charlotte inevitably leaves tonight, Alexa might be the best talker in the women's division on Raw?
Yeah, she might be. Alexa Bliss is much better at talking than wrestling right now, but she's getting better at the wrestling, so
Yeah.
I think she's got a lot of potential.
Right, and she's an athlete naturally, so that you can teach someone to wrestle. You can't teach someone to have a personality, you know. So
true.
Yeah, so I like this quite a bit. I think that this has a lot of potential. Just leads me to wonder, though, who do you think is going to be the second woman that SmackDown gets? Presumably, they will replenish the stock somewhere. I think it should be Dana Brooke. What do you say?
I think it's going to be Sasha.
Oh, really?
Because Sasha made a comment on Naomi's Instagram post today saying that she's basically alluding to the fact that she might be going to SmackDown. So
I don't know if they would be getting Sasha and Charlotte. Do you think it would be Sasha instead of Charlotte?
No, I think it could be both.
Wow. Man, oh man, that would certainly change the dynamic of that women's division over there.
I think it would kind of make both divisions almost equal. You know, you'd have... From a good wrestling point on Raw, you'd have Bayley and Mickie James and Alexa getting better and Nia. And then you'd have on SmackDown, Sasha and Charlotte and Becky. And then you've got Carmella and Naomi on there. Like, it's kind of evening it up a little bit. So I could be down with that.
Yeah.
Although maybe it's just Charlotte. You never know. I think SmackDown does need another woman, though. So.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get Alicia Fox.
You should add two.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe we'll get Alicia Fox. You never know.
Alicia Fox!
Then we get Kevin Owens making his entrance for the main event against Dean Ambrose. Champion versus champion, non-title. Dean Ambrose gets the win, and then after the match, Chris Jericho comes out, puts Kevin Owens out with a codebreaker. The fans chant for Jericho. His music plays, and that's the end of the show. What did you think of the main event?
The main event didn't do a whole lot for me. I'll be perfectly honest. I kind of thought it was flat. I am of the opinion that Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose are better on the mic than they are in the ring. So the two of them in a match together in the ring, I wasn't expecting much, and it was fine for what it was. It about met my expectations, you know. But these guys are better when they're used as personalities and have I don't want to say a better worker, because Kevin Owens is he is a good wrestler. As to where Dean Ambrose, I don't really think he is, but I think in order for Dean Ambrose to have a really interesting, good match, he needs to be in there with someone who can work his ass off. So, it was all right, though. It kind of signified to me that Kevin Owens was leaving Raw, because that would only make sense if the Intercontinental Champion is on Raw. U.S. Champion should probably be on SmackDown, right?
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case.
You would hope.
I mean, I can't imagine Kevin Owens is not going.
Right.
What did you think? What would you give Raw overall in terms of rating? I'm rushing to get a plane in about an hour. That's why this is being slightly rushed at the end, but it's not too bad. In terms of a score out of 10, where would you give this Raw?
I really love the Braun Strowman stuff, so I think that alone is going to push it up a bit. The Miz stuff was really funny. And I actually thought that the TJ Perkins stuff was very interesting too. I would give this a 7.5 out of 10, Kenny.
I would give the exact same rating, to be honest. I think there was enough. There wasn't anything that really dragged. I thought that these shows are always interesting because they're not typically, you're not building anything right now because you've got to see how things happen tonight. So
right.
I thought they did a good job. I liked the women's stuff. I liked most of the jumps. I really like Bray Wyatt on Raw, actually. I think Bray Wyatt will be better on Raw than he was on SmackDown. I don't think he's going to be a main eventer, but I think that he will do better in terms of who he can feud with. And I think that long term, the thing that will save him will be a babyface run. Because if I was to look at it in terms of when The Undertaker debuted at the end of 1990 and look at where he was in like 1994, like it's not too dissimilar to where Bray Wyatt is as a performer in terms of, you know, he's won the world title once, kind of fluky, and he's in near top card matches. The only difference really is The Undertaker won a lot more of his matches. But I think Bray Wyatt is someone who, They definitely see him as a top guy because they keep putting him in top matches all the time. I'm just hoping that eventually they realize that he needs to win the top matches.
Right. A lot of people were giving me shit saying that Bray Wyatt is not a good wrestler because I went on a epic anti-Randy Orton tirade. If you guys want to read that on Twitter, at Zoopsoul, ZOOPSOUL. Ain't I great? Yes, I am. if you do want to read that, that's where that is. But a lot of people were giving me shit saying, well, Bray Wyatt's not a good wrestler. I don't give a fuck if he can wrestle or not. He could be the Great Khali whenever he's in the fucking ring. And I don't give a shit. You know why? Because wrestling isn't all about wrestling. It's about characters and personas and how you portray them and the scenarios and stories that they find themselves in. Okay? The fucking WWE Universal Champion does two moves, and the guy who's going to dethrone him in a year does three. I don't really think we care about wrestling at this point, you guys. But he is a really interesting character, which at the end of the day is all you can ask for in a WWE environment. If I want to go and watch some amazing wrestling, then I'll tune into New Japan and I'll see Shibata versus Naito, right? Or something like that. If I wanted to see that, that's what I would do. But instead, I'm watching the WWE, so I want to be entertained with characters. And Bray Wyatt has the potential to be one of the most interesting characters of all time. And I want to see that come to fruition.
One of the best WrestleMania matches this year was Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. It went less than 5 minutes. They didn't do a lot of moves, but who cares? It was impactful. It was intense. It felt big.
Agreed.
And people seemed to enjoy it. So after Raw went off the air, we did get a Fallout video where Byron Saxton was told that he has been drafted to SmackDown and David Otunga has been drafted to Raw. Thoughts?
It reminds me of the picture that I took next to Ryback, where I look like Ryback if he were deflated. so that's essentially David Otunga and Byron Saxton.
Like Byron Saxton.
I really do. They were my favorite commentary team, the Raw commentary team. I praised them on numerous occasions on this show. So it kind of breaks my heart a bit to see them split up, but
maybe Otunga will get better with Cole and Cody.
I am 100% certain that he will get better just by having Corey next to him, who is the best color guy in the business.
So with that in mind, it's time for us to go. David, where can people find you on Twitter?
That's ZOOPSOUL. Zoopsoul. I'm great. And if you follow me, you can also be great, Kenny.
Kenny MC 1985, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay.
Ma'am, what a rousing, I hope that you're not leading the troops into battle with that.
If I was leading the troops into battle, I'd be like, don't fight for this maniac. Find out why you're fighting, please.
We have an evil dictator, you guys. What are you doing?
Yeah, so thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for more content. I get back tomorrow, so we will have more content up and running when I can get home and start getting things done. Thank you for all your support. Get tickets for our shows with Alberto El Patron, Wade Barrett and Goldberg at InsideTheRopes.co.uk, or go to Ticketmaster.ie for tickets to the Chris Jericho shows in Dublin and Belfast. Thank you so, so much. And David, I will speak to you very soon.
I certainly hope so. Take care, everybody. Do something nice for one of your loved ones today. Normally it's a stranger, but I want you to do something out of the ordinary. Go buy your parents a present. Or go and give your loved one a massage. There you go. That's your assignment, everybody.
All right. Let's not get creepy about it. Make sure they get a happy ending. Bye.
So long.